Welcome back to Open Source Startup Podcast. This is Tim from Essence VC and our lovely co-host, Robbie from Cowboy Ventures. We're super excited to have Tony De La Fuente, co-founder of Prowler, with us. And Prowler is open source security tools for cloud infrastructure. So welcome, Tony.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Robbie, for having me today.
We are thrilled to have you on all the way from Spain. So as always, we like to start this podcast by going all the way back to the beginning. And so if you could share a little bit about where the idea for Prowler came from. I imagine some of it has roots in your work at AWS, but kind of give us the founding story.
Yeah, well, actually it was way before I joined AWS. I was working for a company back in 2016. Well, actually, the company is Alfresco Software. It was an open source ECM. And they started moving the on-premise software to a SaaS. So they started having a lot of AWS accounts, with all what that means in terms of security, et cetera. So I took over the position of to take care of the security of the cloud because I was doing things for AWS. I started with AWS a long time ago. And they say, okay, Tony, it's the time to for the hardening and to know what we have, right? And I started doing all that stuff manually and I realized that we had to automate things. I knew some things about the AWS CLI. I knew some things about automation, so I started writing some scripts to automate the basic things of security, like, okay, is this password policy correct? Is the security group properly configured? Are we exposing things to the internet without knowing? Are we using regions that we shouldn't use? Things like that. You know, the common type of security issues that you can find back in the time in AWS. So I started writing those scripts. I made that open source. I put a name that was something cool. I love Iron Maiden, the heavy metal band, and I was looking for a good song for my piece of software, my collection of scripts at the end of the day. And right now it's more than that, but back in the time it was a collection of scripts. So I found out that Prowler was the first song of the first album of Iron Maiden, and also the meaning of Prowler makes kind of sense, right, for what we do. Looking for vulnerabilities in this case in the cloud. That's why I started Prowler in 2016. I wanted something very easy to use because I was the only security person in the company. And I wanted all the developers, even without security background, to use Prowler. So you can run Prowler and you get red or green if you have something to fix or you are good to go. So that was the main goal, having something doing some complex things, other things are more basic, but easy for the user and allow me to do other things and not to have been taking care of the security all the time. When I uploaded to GitHub, I didn't realize that they had something called stars. I remember a colleague said, Tony, have you seen that you have 300 stars? I said, no, stars what? 300 stars in 2017, I think, was a lot, but I didn't know what was that. So after that, I went to SANS Cloud Summit in San Diego. That was when somebody said also that Prowler was becoming something important. I should take more care of the software. And I started adding more checks, more features. People started contributing, a lot of people, big companies. That is more or less how we started. But now we are a company, actually.
So love to hear like the motivation. I think you talked about motivation, the project, but maybe motivation from like a company point of view, because I think Verica, the company you were at, it was more of a chaos engineering. I think it was known for that, you know, building sort of a suite of tools to help you able to verify your systems. But when it comes to Prowler, I guess Prowler is more on your infrastructure and right, your sort of CSPM side. Like, was this a tool to complement your original product? Or was this, what was the reason to even create it in that context? And what was sort of the story behind that either?
Well, after that, Prowler became more and more popular. And back in 2019, I think, I joined AWS. And in the AWS, I worked doing consultancy, security assessments, and all that stuff. And after that, I moved to AWS security, doing pen testing and application security. And during that process, that was 2 years, I improved Prowler and I was adding more features, also contributing from within AWS and other companies. And I met Casey Rosenthal, who is my co-founder at Prowler, that he was at Verica. I joined them to build the baseline of Prowler and the service that we run on top of Prowler. Now we have a company called Prowler, and we have Prowler open source as our main product with the service. Verica had some tools as well, targeting more enterprise level type of market. And Prowler was more PLG, right? More like, okay, we are going to help the cloud practitioners, the auditors, the security architects, the developers. That was different. So that is why now we are only focused on Prowler company.
So Prowler was around for some time. And I'm curious, what was it about the usage of Prowler that made you feel like there was a company opportunity? Because it sounds like Prowler was out there, it was getting some traction. And then you decided to join AWS and it was still growing. And so before you joined AWS, like, what didn't you see at that point to turn Prowler into a company? And then what did you eventually see when you were at AWS? Where you're like, okay, there's really something here. I want to go raise venture, turn this into something bigger.
That took me time. You know probably better than me how important it is to track projects, important projects in GitHub, right? I remember after 2,000 stars, I had pretty much every month people knocking or sending me emails or something say, hey, let's do something with Prowler. You have an important open source project. In that time, we didn't have, in general, the community, many open source tools for cloud infrastructure. And I always said no. Not because I was working for AWS by that time, or I didn't want to build a company around that. But that was more and more and more. And I said, okay, if these people, a lot of people, I had, I don't know, dozen of VCs or at least interest people sending information or having calls. And I say, okay, this is probably something that I should take into consideration. That is why I had a call with my founder now, Casey Rosenthal. And I say, okay, let's try to do something. I mean, I didn't even have, to be honest, expectations, because I have never considered myself an entrepreneur, because I like technology. I like cybersecurity. I've been doing pen testing, auditories, and everything related to security in the last 25 years, but never thought about building a company until I saw the opportunity. I said, okay, why not? With his help, it's the time to do it. It was the time also to jump to this entrepreneur world, which is crazy. And I'm really glad that I made that step to see how far we can go. And actually, we are so excited because we have in front of us a big opportunity, how the market can see us as an open source tool, but also as a product.
So can you give us a sense, like, your sort of like momentum or traction around Prowler? Because it's a little hard to tell. I think 8.6 GitHub stars right now, but I definitely seen Prowler mentioned quite a bit. So maybe give us a sense, like, okay, how many people are using Prowler? And also, we want to maybe even talk about, like, where do you start? Because looking at the GitHub description, there's a lot of things you do, assessments, auditing, and all that stuff. Right? So give us, like, the quick overview, like, where you guys are in terms of, like, the progress on the traction side. And maybe going back to the story, where did you even start? What was a V1 of Prowler? What did you do to release? And how did that grow?
V1 was like 50 to 60 checks of AWS security best practices based on the CIS, the Center for Internet Security benchmarks for hardening. And I took those recommendations as the first checks for Prowler. That is how I started. And it was a bash script. That was a bash script. It was working fine. It did what it had to do. Like 2-3 years ago, we rewrote everything in Python. Now it's like a proper application, way faster, and it performs very well. And also we added also GCP, Google Cloud, and Azure support. And we plan to add support for many other things like Kubernetes and many others. Our target was just me, because it was the user who needed something like that. And it was my developers, the developers in my company. So people like cloud architects or cloud security engineers, even red and purple teams are using Prowler right now, because we added also some pen testing related checks, security auditors and consultants, compliance related consultants are also the type of users. Also infrastructure developers, because at the end of the day, you can run Prowler against your runtime infrastructure and then fix, because we give you recommendations and in some cases, even the command to fix the issue. and then harden your infrastructure. That is the main part. And the second question that you asked is something that we try to see every month. And right now, every 30 seconds, somebody runs Prowler or somebody downloads Prowler. We understand that if you download Prowler, it's because you want to do something with it, right? We don't have telemetry inside the open source because at this point, we have users everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I include governments, etc. The telemetry in open source is not well seen, let's see, because you know the software has to do what it has to do, not sending ping back or anything to any other place. So we don't do any of that. So we don't have that proper tracking so far. But we have passed the 6 million of downloads recently. Like our PIP package is downloaded thousands of times a week. We have PIP package for Python. We have Brew package as well. We have containers in Docker Hub and the ECR in Amazon ECR. And yeah, that passed 6 million of downloads overall. And yeah, in our numbers, which is hard because we have so many different sources to download, is like every 30 seconds or even less, somebody runs Prowler, which is amazing in terms of responsibility, because sometimes if we do something wrong in the code, straight away we realize. If that passed our tests, of course we have tests in our code, etc., and somebody realized that we do something wrong, we have a very good community of users and contributors that they say, hey, this check is not working fine, or this feature is not as expected. So this is great. We are listening to the community very, very closely. We have a Slack channel, we have the issues in GitHub, etc. And that is also key for that traction, because we have seen other open source projects that they say, and people ask me, hey, why do you guys have that many stars? It's because we are there. We are taking care of our software, and we are taking care of our community, giving new features. People is asking us features and also sending us contributions. So we have right now in total probably around 500 checks for all providers. And a good percentage of those checks have been written by the community. We have a developer guide. We have been doing workshops in DEF CON, in Black Hat, in some besides as well, in Vegas. So taking care of the community for us is key, and listening to them.
Yeah, the traction's super impressive. I'm curious, when you think about Prowler Pro and the product that you want to build there, because you have so many different users and you don't have a ton of telemetry on how they're using Prowler, figuring out what product to build and who to build it for can be really challenging. So would love to hear what your process has been for getting that feedback from the community on like how to build the best product for the best set of users, and just trying to understand kind of who's there and what they want. So many open source companies struggle with this because you don't have telemetry, you don't know who's using it, you know you're providing value, but there's limited information. So what have you learned about trying to get that and figure out what to build?
We try pretty much every day, seriously. Every day I talk to somebody that uses Prowler, and it's not internally, right? Because of course we also use Prowler. But so talking to the user and saying, where is the value? Prowler. So our goal is to be the most important open source tool for cloud security. We are already, at least for AWS and growing for GCP in terms of popularity, I mean, and downloads. But with that means that you have to download the tool, configure with the permissions, with the right permissions, run it and analyze the results, and then act upon that, right? How can we improve that experience? Just doing that for you and giving you the reports, giving you also the authentication and authorization on the service, giving you the opportunity to integrate with third parties, giving you the opportunity with one click or two clicks to send the findings to Security Hub or other findings or to your own bucket, and then you want to build your own dashboards. But you don't have to be worried about, hey, let me run Prowler, let me do the analysis, or let me... No, we can do everything for you. At the end of the day, it's saving you the time and the infrastructure to do that, because we don't have agent. So Prowler is agentless. So it's just we assume a role in whatever provider you have, and we do the work. Of course, you are free to use the open source and run it by yourself, build your own outputs, reports, etc. So actually, Prowler open source is key of our service. It's production ready. So it's not like, hey, we have two versions. No, no, we don't have two versions. We don't want to have two versions. And the coverage in terms of checks is in the open source, like it is in our SaaS. So if we want to be taken seriously in open source and the SaaS, has to be the same. I don't want to tell my users, hey, come to the SaaS because you have more checks. Come on. If I want to provide good service in terms of securing the cloud, I want everybody to secure the cloud. But if you don't want to do that, you know, the maintenance or running, I can do that for you and you can pay me for that, right? So that is the key. We are making those decisions, of course, listening to the community and also listening to customers that we have now.
Yeah, no, it makes a ton of sense. And I also agree with the alignment between the open source and the paid product is super important. When you're figuring out who to build paid products for, and maybe this gets into who the Prowler community is, because there might be smaller companies or companies that care a lot about security, so they want certain types of features. So like, how do you think about the paid product, like who it's for? Is it for everyone in the community or like a subset of the community that have a certain set of needs that you're building paid functionality for? Just because we've seen with so many open source companies, there ends up being a much narrower, especially in the beginning, set of customers for the paid product, depending on what their needs are. And a lot of times it's maybe upmarket, for example, and features that they would need.
Yeah, we see in when it comes to CSPMs or whatever acronym that we want to use for cloud security, we see always companies with a very high price, let's say, or hard for all other companies to get into those products. I'm not going to name any vendor, but you know their names. We don't want to be cheaper or more expensive or anything. We want to be better and to do what the customers, what our users want to do and the customers wants to do. Our user is not the CISO, but a CISO of a company or a CIO can use Prowler, our SaaS, to see the report, to see what is your security posture today in terms of SOC 2, in terms of PCI or whatever. You can do that. But we want to help the guy or the people that is doing the thing. So if you are doing the hardening, you need to know the details of what you are doing hardening. If you are doing the pen testing, you are in the purple team or the red team, you want to probably to write your own pen test checks for the cloud. And we can run that for you. If you are the security auditor, we can do that for you as well. So we are more targeting the users that they can, even if it's not very hard, we can allow them to do that by themselves. I think the market for the services, the cloud services, is very crowded in terms of solutions. But how many of those vendors that we all know are supporting a comprehensive and very active open source tool? How many? Not many, really. Like one or two? And with the coverage of Prowler, I don't think there are many, at least not today. We will see in the future. So we want to take advantage of that, of course. So taking care of our community and making also our customers part of the community, because at the end of the day, we are giving solutions to a problem, which is the visibility. How can I do the remediation of these issues? How can I respond an incident? How can I make sure if I'm compliant with whatever need I have, or even doing the pen testing, right?
Got it. That's a unique approach to get a lot more people to use your tool. So I want to talk about sort of some of the things you do, because looking at the blog posts, one of the very first ones is we have a training course, right? And then it's talking about the SaaS and then the Amazon Marketplace. So we're talking about the starting points. What is the motivation around creating like the training course and how effective was that when it comes to allowing people to know how to use your tool more effectively, or did it make a lot of difference in terms of usage or adoption as well?
Something that I realized very soon, starting with Prowler, was the documentation and the way we explain things has to be very clear, right? Everything in open source, people ask me about that many times, is like, okay, tell the people how to use your tool and explain them very well, because it's the key to success at the end of the day. Of course, there is no way that somebody is going to use your tool if it's not helpful at all, and if it doesn't have documentation. So having a comprehensive documentation like a developer guide in our case, et cetera, is very important. So this is why we have docs.prowler.cloud. And doing the training, for example, we have a public workshop for the developers And also for users, they can learn from running Prowler for a simple assessment to writing checks or writing their own compliance frameworks. That is key for us and for any open source project. So if you are starting your open source project, spend time, invest time in your documentation. Now we are a team of people. I wrote a lot of documentation for Prowler, but now I'm always pushing the guys to write proper documentation. So for example, now we are going to release a new functionality that is going to give the users cleaner results or more accurate results, because Prowler has so many checks, right? And gives you a lot of information. So we spend yesterday, the whole day, documenting that. And this is going to be in our documentation portal. And it's going to be also in our training, because the more clear you are, the better, right? In terms of documentation and training. Being part of events like DEF CON, the Cloud Village that we did a workshop there, or the V-Sites, or many other events, this is also very important for two reasons. One, because that forces you to have properly written things, right? And second, visibility. Sometimes you may have the best documentation or the best training courses, but if nobody knows them, so you have to make noise as well. So we have to improve that part as well. So we are working on that.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about messaging and positioning in particular, because it seems like earlier on, Prowler was positioned mostly as an AWS cloud security tool. Now it's much broader. What have you learned about positioning and messaging and marketing so far? Because I'm sure that was also a little bit new to you as well. Like what have been some of the things that have worked and what haven't worked?
I started with AWS, and also I've been always very related to AWS, because in my last 10 years, I've done talks about incident response in AWS, forensics in AWS. I've been talking about many things related to AWS security. That is why it's easy to link Prowler with AWS. But we decided to open the door to other providers, and also to make some changes in our software to allow even open to other providers, like we are planning to add Kubernetes and a few others. Positioning to AWS was very easy. Basically, I didn't have much to do, because it was like it came with me, let's say. To position with Google Cloud, we are working with Google to make it better in terms of coverage and also known from the community. We have to work more on that. Our support for Microsoft Azure is lower in terms of checks, in terms of coverage, but we have to do that as well. To have visibility with those giants is not easy. We try to talk to them. We try to meet them to explain, hey, this is what we are doing. We think this is helpful for your customers, because at the end of the day, something different to an open source security tool for the cloud compared to other security tools is that everybody in the cloud is paying, right? It's not like, okay, Nmap. Remember, the Nmap, the scanning port tool. So you can use Nmap locally to scan your local server and you don't pay anybody. But if you are using Prowler, most likely that you are paying to Microsoft, you are paying to Google, or you are paying to Amazon Web Services, right? So which makes a little bit different in terms of cloud security tooling, because there is money behind somehow. So making the customers, you are always making the customers more secure. Our customers, it's not users, our customers of something. In terms of marketing, I'm not expert in that. But in terms of marketing and visibility, we have to target different type of person to tell, hey, this tool is helpful for you. But again, we have to do more developer advocation, let's say, and more talks. This is just, I guess, it's just the beginning in terms of what Prowler is now, what it's going to become. In my case, I have a lot to learn. We have Laura, our head of marketing. She knows a lot about PLG, about what we have to do. So hopefully we can have more visibility over the time.
So one thing I want to ask, I don't know if this is true, so maybe you can help me clarify this too. One of the things I think people have heard a lot about Prowler, beyond just organic growth of open source, it's also, I think Amazon also recommended you guys, right, from various resources. Mm-hmm. And so can we talk about like how your tool was able to become more widely spread, and how does Amazon pick you up? And maybe how has that changed the trajectory or adoption as well?
the help of AWS has been very important for the story of Prowler. First, because when I joined AWS, even in the, during the interviews, they knew Prowler and they asked me questions about Prowler, which was great for me. When I joined AWS, I made sure that I could keep doing Prowler as a side project or as a work project. And in order to do that, you have to be very careful with legally with Amazon, of course. And I did everything internally with lawyers, etc. Something that is very important for people that are listening to this podcast and they want to do similar things is the license that you choose. From the beginning, I chose Apache license because also I knew that was going to be easier for other companies to adopt it. Amazon has Apache license like one of their friendly licenses in terms of freedom and the capacity to use it, change it, adapt it, etc. So that was also very important for Amazon to adopt Prowler. And once I was there, I said, hey, I remember I joined one of the work groups of the security assessments. So AWS does a lot of security assessments for their customers. And they were doing assessment in one way. And I said, okay, let's improve it. And how can we improve that with Prowler? That was key also for the success internally of Prowler in AWS. And we started adding more documentation about Prowler, telling the consultants and other employees how to use Prowler, how to get the best of Prowler, how to improve it. We grew a lot in 2 years doing that. When I left AWS, Prowler was bigger and having more contributions and actually still being very used internally in AWS and other and different areas inside AWS and Amazon. I guess it's because of the license, because it's very helpful, because you don't have to enable any service to scan your infrastructure with Prowler. It's not like, okay, I have to enable this or that service in this region, that region, et cetera. It's going to go through all your accounts or all your regions if you don't say anything different out of the box. So the visibility is huge and the footprint is almost nothing because you don't have to configure anything. That is also important. You can assess one of your customers, probably only with one with the permissions needed, the role that you need to run Prowler, and that's all. You will see, of course, queries in CloudTrail in the case that you use AWS, but nothing else. All of that made like the success internally in AWS and probably externally as well. Yeah, we have very good relationship with Amazon. We are very glad of that relationship, actually, because we listen to them a lot of what they said. Somehow as well with Google Cloud, not that much yet with Microsoft, but it's a matter of time, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I have some portfolio companies who've also been really successful with the AWS marketplace. Was there anything you thought about or any challenges when you then thought about being more focused on being cloud neutral and working with the other cloud partners where you have this really awesome relationship with AWS that you want to keep there, but you want to work with others? Is there anything that you had to think through with that?
To be honest, Amazon is in a very, very good position in terms of cloud infrastructure that they don't, I don't know if they care or not, but they shouldn't be very worried about any other cloud because they are doing very good things. But every cloud has their own good and bad things. Personally, I like AWS the most because I know also better. The second is probably Google in terms of, because I think their APIs are very, very easy to use as well. I don't really like Azure that much because to write a tool like Prowler against Azure has been very difficult because of their SDKs, because their APIs and all that stuff. That is our reality. It's not a matter of I like this or that because I'm biased. It's because it took us a lot of time to write 40 checks for Azure and almost nothing for GCP, you know? And of course, we are better in AWS for our experience, but just comparing Azure with GCP, you can see the difference in terms of writing software for them. For AWS, they are fine. So our relationship hasn't changed at all if we have more coverage. At the end of the day, a lot of big customers, they are using at least two clouds, right? I don't remember the percentage, but that is growing, at least two clouds. If I'm a company, I wouldn't use two clouds. I would use just one cloud because it's cheaper in terms of people, right? Knowledge training and all that stuff. But for example, for us to be in the marketplace, that was a long, long process the AWS marketplace, to be part of that. For us, it wasn't an easy thing. They are working hard to make that process very easy, but it wasn't very easy at all. The results, we will see. AWS is working hard to make the marketplace more and more popular and getting more traction in terms of business. We have some customers coming from there. I can say that less than expected so far, but it's also very soon. So we are a very, very young company. We have been in the marketplace almost nothing. So we will see. And also, I mean, we are not in other marketplaces yet, but we will, like the Microsoft or the Azure or the Google Cloud.
So let's talk about the SaaS product. So you have an open source project that allows you to basically do all the scanning and all the basically the functionality to actually perform the security checks. I noticed your SaaS product definitely provides like a dashboard, right? It provides a way to visualize all the outputs. Maybe talk about some of the thought process around how you're thinking about the differentiation between your paid product and your open source. What do you want to see more and more that's happening on the paid side? And how do you see your users convert to using your paid product? Like, will all of them like to use because they have a lot more to scan or have a lot more environments to scan? Talk about some of the philosophies here.
First of all, we don't want to differentiate Prowler, the tool, with Prowler, the service, right? Our SaaS, because they are different things and they are complementary. Actually, we are adding more features. If you have like an allow list of resources running with Prowler, you are going to be able to use that allow list in the service as well. So we are talking about a service and we are talking about a command line tool. Could be, in some cases, can be the same users, but in other cases can be a different type of persona, right? The user experience when you run Prowler from the command line, the open source, is you have to go to GitHub or you go to PIP, install Prowler, you have to set up the credentials, you have to figure out where you're going to scan and run it. And then you get the results in a few minutes and then analyze those results in multiple formats, which is key for us. We give you JSON, we give you HTML, we give you CSV, JSON OCSF, which is the new standard. We give you a lot of things. And then you do your job analyzing that. That is the experience that is good. So you can use a database, you can use a Grafana, you can use Kibana, whatever you want. That is one type of user that is happy with Prowler. If you don't want to do all of that, you don't have to. We do that for you. At the end of the day, if you are familiar with Prowler, or even you are not familiar with Prowler, but you have the confidence that we can do that for you, because you know Prowler, because Prowler is a well-known tool, you can go and do that through the SaaS. In 5 minutes, you have everything with the results. Literally 5 minutes. You only have to deploy a CloudFormation template or a Terraform template, and that's all. The user experience is different, of course. It's a matter of click-ups, let's say, and getting the results. And then once you have the results, you start doing the hardening straight away, improving your security posture straight away. It's interesting because we have been working with big customers in our SaaS. And they say, okay, this is going to take a week, 2 weeks for, they say, no. If you want to start on Monday at 9, let's say at 11, you can probably fix the most important findings, the critical findings by severity. Or if you have to be PCI compliance or whatever, you can go drill down into the findings and fix them. As I said, we are targeting kind of the same user, but with different needs. So at the end of the day, it's make it yourself or have it. This is important. As I said at the beginning, it's not like a competition between both, no, because actually it's a complement. Some customers also that they say, okay, I'm going to do this locally first, and then I do the automation in your SaaS. Because at first I want to see what I have. And once I have that, since some security standards, security compliance frameworks, now, like here in the Spanish government or other governments, that they say, hey, it's required to have continuous monitoring. It's not just one point in time monitoring. It's continuous monitoring. You can do that with Prowler open source, but you have to build it. You have to run it by yourself, every whatever, in a container or Kubernetes, whatever you want. But in Prowler Pro, our SaaS, we do it for you. So that is why it shouldn't be very different, but it should be complementary for your use case, right? And also we are adding features like, for example, your access control, RBAC, not all users are going to see everything in terms of reports, exports, integrations. Like, okay, I'm going to alert your users in Slack, or I'm going to send these findings to Security Hub, or we are adding all those features because it's the added value of the integration. You can do that from the command line as well if you want to, but we are making everything easier in our service.
Awesome. And the question we love to end on, if there's one thing that you wish you knew when you started out that you now know, what would that be?
Python. Because I started with a spaghetti code in Bash. In terms of technology itself, okay, I would have preferred to start from scratch with Python, and now it will be probably better. I mean, I have a great team. They rewrote everything in Python, and now probably works very, very well and is very comprehensive. But back in 2016, I struggled a lot writing things in Bash that probably with Python would take me way, way less time. That is in terms of the technology itself. In terms of like the startup, you have to be patient. This is a long, long run. It's better to think long-term and always do something. This is something that also I have, this conversation I have with my team. Sometimes is you don't see results. Many times you don't see results. This is what, like when you play a game, most of the times you are going to lose. Most of the times you are not going to see traction. Most of the times you are not going to see what is going on with that new feature that you spend 3 nights adding to your software. But be patient and ask the community. Listen to the community. Ask for feedback. For good feedback, bad feedback, all is good. A lot of companies are open to pay for feedback. We get feedback for free from our users and our customers. So we have to listen to them. And if you are an open source founder or entrepreneur, make sure that what you are solving is important, because it's not just a matter of doing something cool because you like it. It's doing something that solves problems. This is a cliche. I know it's a cliche, but it's important sometimes to sit back and think that what you are doing is solving somebody's problem or just your problem, which is why I started, right? It was my problem back in that time, but it was other people's problems as well. So that is why it became an important project and now a company. But yeah, think about what you are doing and ask for feedback. This is key. Every single conversation with a user, take the best from that because they are going to give you the next steps to follow.
Awesome. Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you very much.